This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. That's the NFL on Fox theme. Anytime I hear that, or the NFL on ESPN theme, or the NFL on CBS theme, or the NFL on NBC theme, I get excited because I am a big NFL fan. But there have been a lot of things this season that have really dented my love of football, professional football. One of them, of course, is the concussion crisis, and the other one, among many, is the story that's come out in the last week from the Miami Dolphins locker room involving a veteran, a 9-year pro by the name of Richie Incognito, who had trouble when he was at the University of Nebraska, who had trouble when he was with the St. Louis Rams, who now has trouble at the Miami Dolphins because he is accused of bullying a rookie by the name of Jonathan Martin. Martin left camp a little over a week ago because of texts and voicemails he was getting from Richie Incognito that were threatening, that were racist, that were frankly horrible. Now, many NFL players say, yeah, it was horrible because you're an outsider and you don't know what the culture of the NFL locker room is like. But I don't know of any other workplace in America where this sort of thing would be okay. And in fact, people in the workplace would say, yeah, that's exactly the way it is. Now you need to butt out. Richie Incognito sat down with Jay Glazer for an interview airing today on Fox NFL Sunday. Here's a little bit of what he had to say.
This isn't an issue about bullying. This is an issue of mine and John's relationship. You can ask anybody in the Miami Dolphins locker room who had John Martin's back the absolute most, and they'll undoubtedly tell you me. All this stuff coming out just it speaks to the culture of our locker room. It speaks to the culture of our closeness. It speaks to the culture of our brotherhood. And the racism, the bad words, that's what I regret most, but that's a product of the environment, and that's something that we use all the time.
See, now it's clear to me that Incognito still doesn't get it, that there are big problems there. And by the way, that's not the only part of the NFL culture that's come up for questioning this week. There's also stories of locker room extortion, which is why I've invited Billy Corbin to join me here today. Billy Corbin's a documentary filmmaker who did a terrific episode of the ESPN series 30 for 30 with his film Broke, which was all about athlete finances, and this was part of the story. Billy, welcome to America Weekend.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Tell my audience a little bit about that locker room extortion in this story and elsewhere.
Well, with all due respect, Paul, you say it's clear from the preview of the interview that Richie Incognito did for Fox NFL Sunday that he doesn't get it. Isn't it also possible that you don't get it, or that none of us really get it? The NFL is an extremely exclusive fraternity of men. You have 32 teams, about 80-some-odd players. You've got about 1,600 or so players active in the NFL at any given time, and it is not your typical workplace environment. They're not dressing up in suits and going to an accounting office every single day. And their line of work requires them, to an extent, to be quite aggressive and not the typical job that you or I or most people in this country have. So I think that there is going to be a distinction in culture, and I think it's important to note, especially with bullying and cyberbullying being the kind of cause du jour of the media, that there's a difference between you have young children, sometimes elementary school kids, who are being victimized on an international platform, often on the World Wide Web, who crack under the pressure, and sometimes there are tragic consequences of that. And then this workplace bullying incident in the NFL, in the locker room. I just wanted to kind of draw those two distinctions.
Okay, well, let me just respond to that for a second here, because yes, I know that it's a different culture, but it's also a culture in which they play a game that has rules. And when they go on the field, when they violate those rules, they are penalized for it. Well, in society, we also have rules, and that locker room should also be subject to, if not the same rules, certainly a similar set of rules in how you treat each other. And these guys, I think, are stepping over their own line in many cases.
Well, absolutely. I would have to agree that if indeed there were some NFL workplace rules that were violated, that they should be investigated, and anyone who is responsible for that should be held accountable. But we are dealing with a hyper-masculine, testosterone-fueled environment, sport. Their job is testosterone-fueled and hyper-masculine. But we also, this is also the league, I should say, where Aaron Hernandez had a job and where Michael Vick still has a job. And I just don't think that Richie Incognito, for example, is the poster boy for the bad boy or wild man behavior of the NFL. But he has had his share of incidents, as you observed earlier, both in college and off on and off the field, in fact. But isn't this more typical, I would say, rather than abnormal of the NFL players like Michael Vick and Aaron Hernandez, for example?
Yep, I would agree that he's yet another bad boy in that league. A league, by the way, that has a lot of really good boys, but in this case, he's another one of the bad boys. But I only have a few minutes here, so I want you to get to the locker room extortion that you talked about in your documentary, Broke.
To be perfectly candid, that is one of the more disturbing elements of this, whole story, this idea that someone who is not going on a trip would give $15,000 of his own money for older players to enjoy a trip to Las Vegas. And this is something that's not entirely uncommon. This is part of the hazing that any fraternity or the military or any amateur, or most amateur in professional sports have. And they have things like rookie night where players are required, the rookie players, to pay for lavish meals for the veteran players. It usually is something that only lasts, like I said, a night or a week. In some cases, however, Leon Searcy, who played at the University of Miami and later went on to play for several NFL teams, including Jacksonville, said that he spent upwards of $20,000 his rookie year for some of the veteran players. And he said it stopped, though, after the first year. And if it didn't stop, if some players stepped over the line, he would have to step up and exchange words with them.
Now, when we talk about $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, which sounds like a huge amount to most of us, these are guys who the league minimum is $405,000 a year. So,
sure, but the problem is that the majority of players are, in most of the leagues, are journeyman players, which is to say that they don't make those multi-million dollar salaries that we read about in the, you know, online and in the papers. They do make league minimum or more average salaries, but there's also a lot of costs and a lot of expenses that come along with a job that you don't know when it could end. It could end at any second as a result of injury or trading. And the second you're traded, if you've ever had the pleasure of moving, you know how expensive and onerous and stressful moving can be. And imagine having to do that at the drop of a hat when it's not your choice to do so, and then all the expenses that come along with it. So it's very easy for athletes, especially at that young age, making that kind of money, to not be able to handle it very well.
Yep. Does this go on in other leagues, the NBA, Major League Baseball, the NHL?
Absolutely. It's a question of when does the hazing end. And that really is, I think, not the scandal here in the Miami Dolphins, because I don't think that scandal is really a fair assessment. But I think that might be the distinction, is that Jonathan Martin's claiming that it didn't stop, that it continued, and he continued to be hazed, and he continued to be, quote-unquote, bullied. But to some extent, yes, the rookie night and these types of traditions now do occur. Now, the idea is that when you're no longer a rookie, the next guys pay it forward. So the next time you're at a rookie dinner, someone else is paying for you to eat.
And that culture comes from, well, they did it to me, I'm going to do it to you, you do it to the next guy, and on and on and on, and it just perpetuates.
You can call it a culture, you can call it a tradition, you can call it bullying, but again, I think bullying is in the eye of the beholder, and if Jonathan Martin feels like he was victimized in some way, he certainly didn't have to take the advice, the alleged advice of Dolphins GM Jeff Ireland, who Martin's agent claimed said that Martin should have punched Richie Incognito in the face. Some people don't solve their problems that way, whether they're football players or not. And I think perhaps if he was indeed wronged, then he did the right thing by turning around and walking away.
Do you think, Billy, that this will get other players who are in Jonathan Martin's position to come forward, or will they stay in the locker room closet, if you will?
Well, I think it's certain. What's happening right now with the Miami Dolphins is you can see a lot of players are coming out and speaking, despite the fact that they were told, specifically instructed, not to speak with the media. And what they're saying is they're painting a very different picture of the locker room experience than Jonathan Martin is claiming. And again, I say bullying is in the eyes of the beholder. So if he feels that what occurred there was him being victimized or wrong, he's certainly entitled to feel that way.
Well, we're going to find out what Ted Wells, the attorney, is looking into this finds when he does his full investigation. I admire your work, and I appreciate you joining me here today, Billy. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Anytime.
Billy Corbin, the guy behind the documentary Broke, terrific sports work. I'm Paul Harris. America, weekend.